When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome back to the podcast. Today, Scout reported to drop their EV version. Ford F-150's Lightning phone as a key and Denza megawatt charging in the UK. Plus, stay tuned. Later in the show, I'll tell you how fast EVs sell on the used market compared to dirty old oil burners. On EV News China today, our spin-off show all about fast developments in the East affecting the global EV market, we talk about BYD's premium brand Yang Wang. The U9 Extreme sets a Nürburgring track record. BYD entering the K-car segment in Japan, and China's average EV price drops to an all-new low. And join me later for a bonus show called No Crash, No Crisis, the truth about the US EVs post-tax credit. Not actually finished recording it yet, but essentially, everybody and, well, anybody really, but especially those incredibly well-informed, such as the CEO of Ford, Jim Farley, have predicted a huge crash post September 30th, when the tax credits go. And he's not alone. And so many very high-level thinkers have said the same thing. The problem is, I don't think the data points to it. Who on earth am I to disagree with such esteemed people in the automotive industry? But it doesn't add up to me when you look at the evidence. And I don't think the US is about to fall off a cliff and go into an EV dark ages. And I'll tell you why on a special bonus edition of the podcast tonight, live for patrons. It'll go into the free feed in 7 days' time. I don't want to ever lock down content, but I don't mind making it exclusive for the patrons a little bit early. And so if you want it now, you can join up on Patreon. $5 or $10 a month, get you an exec producer level, get your name in the show notes every day. Gets ad-free and all that kind of stuff, one of the many benefits. Now, this is a fascinating report coming out of Germany. Volkswagen Group is tightening its spending. After Manager Magazine reporting in Germany, net cash flow has fallen to dangerously low levels. The CFO has convened finance chiefs from the group's largest brands to coordinate cost reduction measures. The cash drain affects Scout Motors. Volkswagen's soon-to-be-revived US nameplate relaunched in 2022. They plan an all-electric SUV and a pickup to be out in 2027. Of those, there would be BEV versions, full electric, and ones with engines in for range extenders. Last year, Scout said a range-extended drivetrain option had become the most popular configuration amongst pre-order customers. And now, according to the Autopian.com website, Manager Magazine reporting that the Scout electric truck will only be available with the range extender version, and that the pure BEV version of the Scout is now on the back burner to save money. That might make sense in the United States, where perception about distances, and you know, distance is reality as well. It's a big country and people drive long distances, but also it's been hit, you know, early BEV trucks, and we're about to talk about one in the very next story, have been hit really hard by people expecting to do truck stuff, not unreasonably, by the way, expecting to do truck stuff with trucks, and finding out that things are different in BEV world with the current battery technology. And so that might not be the end of the world. As long as it's not cancelled, maybe it's delayed by a year or two. Maybe they'll wait for battery technology to improve a little bit. Launching with a range extender will probably get over some people in the United States' feelings about going pure BEV. Now, obviously, many people want a pure BEV. You and I probably do. Many people would also like the idea that they have an engine and that they're going to go to the gas station. But here's the rub. If you have a plug socket on the side of it and you're paying next to nothing overnight to charge it, and you suddenly realize, I'm not filled up with gas in weeks, maybe months. I do all of my work on electric, and actually it's really quiet and nice. Wow, maybe EVs aren't the devil like politicians have told me they are. And maybe once in a blue moon, or maybe you'll tow a boat or something that's not just heavy, but with EVs, actually it's not about the weight really, it's about the aero penalty, maybe even up some elevation as well. And then you dip into the range extender, and then your life isn't, you know, negatively compromised because you have to stop much more often when you're towing. Well, that might not be a bad idea. Okay, let's move on. One of those trucks that launched very early in EV world, and certainly many people bought one to do truck stuff and found out, well, sometimes that actually it can be quite difficult if the infrastructure isn't there in your state. Ford F-150 Lightning. Now they're finally going to offer phone as a key on the F-150 Lightning trims for 2026 model year, using the Ford Pass app and a smartphone to lock, unlock and start the vehicle remotely. Ford F-150 Lightning owners rejoicing, opening the window and singing into the distance. It's optional on the STX and Flash trims and standard on the Lariat at no charge. Pricing on the package for the package on STX and Flash not announced, but look, have it, because it's you know, phone as a key is kind of a basic service these days. I know, first world problems, eh? On the STX, the package adds Securicode keyless entry keypad on the driver's side. That's important for work vehicles as well. And the Flash trim adds those features, plus body color, tailgate handle. The Lariat includes the package as standard. Ford has trimmed the price of the 2026 model years. The STX replaces the XLT, starting at $63,000, according to FordAuthority.com. Now, Denza, which is BYD's premium brand, will begin selling cars in the United Kingdom next year in right-hand drive, and wants to build a public network of ultra-high-powered chargers, which they say will be cheaper, and they're telling us why they'll be cheaper to operate. BYD's branding is called Flash Charging. And in China, that is 1,000 kilowatts, megawatt charging on just your regular car that you drive. Now, that is at the minute using the two-gun approach. So you've got to get two cables and two handles and plug it in either side, like an old Jaguar with twin fuel tanks, right? And so in the UK, though, they're going to do that with a single cable. And that adds, you know, 250 miles of range in 5 minutes. It's goodnight combustion. Like, when you can charge 250 miles in 5 minutes and you still complain about EVs and in recharging, I'll jog on, right? BYD has built an all liquid cooled charger, which they say can peak at 1,360 kilowatts. Now, if I find a 350 kilowatt charger in the UK, I'm delighted, can't use it. I got a Polestar. I just look for 150s, right? That's four times the fastest chargers we have. Now, there are some 400 kilowatt chargers around. The Porsche network is 400 kilowatt Alpitronics, but they're not common. BYD's UK country manager said that the first chargers will be installed in the UK next year. He hopes that they'll be live at places like BYD's Uxbridge headquarters by the end of Q1. So we're talking 6 months away, and megawatt charging in the UK. BYD will also charge a lot less, they say, than other DC fast charging networks, because they will use BYD batteries at those sites. So it does two things. It avoids costly local grid upgrades. It also allows you to put chargers where the grid can't be upgraded without unbelievable cost. It makes it much faster, because BYD is very vertically integrated. BYD have a big energy battery energy storage system product as well. So you put BYD batteries in, you can do it very, very quickly. And because it's all BYD batteries, BYD chargers, everything is effectively one set of the decision chain, you can do it very reasonably. Now, he said that at their headquarters, they could put in a 250 kilowatt DC fast charger. That is what the substation could do and the transformers. But you can have battery storage, which is constantly recharging itself. Think of it like drip feeding. Okay. And then when you need to, and a car turns up, because they won't have 100% utilization rate of cars being able to charge at 1.3 megawatts in the UK yet. And so then it can dump, for want of a better word, dump the power into your car, empty the bucket, if you like, and then just gradually refill on a low-cost connection. The all-electric Denza Z9 GT. That is a luxury estate, and that's the car they're bringing. And it will be the first model to even get anywhere near these charging speeds. Look, if it gives you 500, I'd bite your hand off. And it doesn't have to do the full 1360 to be absolutely incredible. Of course, that technology always works its way down to lower cost models. Link to Auto Express in the show notes, where they exclusively interviewed the country manager of BYD, where I found this story. Okay, let's move on. And talking of Denza, BYD's mark, will enter Australia this year. Customer deliveries will be early 2026. Premium version of anything Chinese. Not that the Chinese brands are doing really well in Australia, by the way. The two plug-in hybrid SUVs, the B5, large off-roader, and the B8, the ultra-large SUV. Plug-in hybrid powertrains, the off-road focus was influenced by the success of BYD's Shark 6, the pickup truck, which is an EREV, but not a pure EREV, because the motor can mechanically connect to the front wheels at highway speeds. Pricing not disclosed for the two plug-in hybrids in Australia, but the SUVs will sit between mainstream models and established premium brands, according to drive.com.au. Link in the show notes if you'd like to find out more. Now, Europe's BEV market has gone absolutely gangbusters this year. We turned the year 9 months ago, 10 months ago, with so many negative headlines around electric vehicles, appearing for many reasons, some of them ignorance from the people writing them, some of them more nefarious reasons for why those stories are being placed in the media. But we've had 1.66 million BEV passenger car sales in Europe in the first 8 months of the year, 32% up on the same time last year. The BEV shares now are at 18% across Europe. Many countries are much higher. At the Global Data Automotive Europe Conference in Munich, the analyst Al Bedwell said that European marques are regaining ground on those that had huge success recently, the likes of Tesla. Now Volkswagen's fighting back. They're now ahead. Chinese brands are expanding rapidly in Europe. BYD is the 10th best-selling BEV brand in Europe and the fastest growing amongst the top 12. Mr. Bedwell attributing the rebound to broader model availability and falling BEV prices, noting that affordable small BEVs, and I've been raving about them in 2025. It's been my absolute kind of key thing this year, was Dacia Spring, Leapmotor T03, Renault 5, Citroen EC3 and the rest, all attracting buyers on a 20,000 and less price point. The yearly figures are looking to be really good in Europe, by the way. Not great news, though, for Stellantis drivers, those that bought a Jeep 4xe. Stellantis pushed out a telematics over-the-air update last week that caused Jeep Wranglers, the 4xe plug-in hybrid version, to lose propulsion when they were driving. The update targeted the infotainment connectivity system, Uconnect, but triggered a limp mode and no power state. In some cases, vehicles shut down whilst they were driving. Owners reported sudden loss of propulsion, with dashboard warning lights and posts on social media, Reddit and 4xe forums suddenly lit up over the weekend. Jeep then pulled the update soon after the problem surfaced, but many owners had already downloaded or installed it. And if you are a Jeep Wrangler 4xe customer, you got that plug-in hybrid, don't install the update. And if you have, Jeep will be involved, or your dealer will be in touch over a rollback and a solution to that, because you don't want to suddenly lose power at highway speeds. Incredibly dangerous. Let's talk a little bit about Prague and street lamp EV chargers, and Škoda's new TV campaign, I think, is genius. Those stories and more after the break. Stick around.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds, or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
All right, welcome back to the podcast. Question of the Week returns after a couple of years break, actually. For years and years and years, we did Question of the Week on EV News Daily, and I loved it, but I don't know, maybe I ran out of steam on it or something, but for whatever reason, I rested Question of the Week, and then a couple of years went by, and people were saying, hey, you should bring it back. We love taking part in that. So I have. So yesterday I went through the Patreon landing page because what you see and what I see is very different. So I thought my Patreon page was looking pretty good, actually, and we relaunched Question of the Week, and I pinned it to the top of the Patreon feed. Well, actually, if you go to patreon.com/EVNewsDaily and you have a look today or next time you get a chance to go online, have a look at the Patreon page. It looks very different for you as a non-member, non-paying member, than me as the creator login. And so when I logged out of everything and I looked at like how you see it, so go and have a look, I was like, oh, this is really hard to find Question of the Week. It then became buried when I posted a new thing. So I've completely redesigned the homepage. So you can there's four big icons at the top. Either the bonus shows that I make, EV News Daily, EV News Briefly, or EV News China. Much easier to see now. And recent posts as well, if you want to just look at it all chronologically. And so in that, you will much easier see now Question of the Week on the homepage. And you haven't got to be a paid member, by the way. So it's totally free to have a Patreon account. And it just means that I think you'll stick your email in and it sends you a code. And then you can take part in this week's question. It's back. What do you think is the ideal mainstream powertrain for the next phase of the EV adoption curve? Not the ultimate solution in 10, 15, 50 years' time. What do you think is the ideal mainstream powertrain for the next phase of the EV adoption curve? Four options: pure electric, plug-in hybrid, extended range EV with a generator, or hybrid. You've got 4 days left. We'll close it at 23:59 on Sunday night, and we'll do Question of the Week. It's back, and we'll keep it going for as long as you want it to go for, really. And so I'd love you to take part in that. If you get a chance, if you have time, share as well in the comment section beneath where you vote. You'll see it straight below. Leave a comment, and I'll read out the best ones on the podcast. Now, back to the news. Let's talk a little bit about, this is really interesting. The Omoda 4 is a small SUV coming in both petrol and electric trims. Omoda sold 4,300 cars last month in the UK. I'm seeing Omodas everywhere. That's 900 more than Dacia. Nearly as many as Honda, right? So it's a big thing here now. People are being attracted to the lower pricing, and they're going to add the Omoda 4 next year. It's a compact SUV with an electric drivetrain. So think Renault Captur, Skoda Kamiq, Volvo EX30, Kia EV3, right? So very angular body on this small SUV, a very low nose, swept back headlights, and a sharp crease along the flanks, a very sporty look, a ruler straight appearance, I would say, when you look at the vehicle. It's certainly, I think, quite striking in terms of how it looks. Think a little bit like at the front end of a Lamborghini Urus. I know, it's a £25,000 small SUV, but that, or like Toyota's design language, very, very angular. It looks a lot like that. And I really like it. Minimalist inside, few buttons and a big touch screen. So there's common ownership with the Jaqu 5. So you would think that the Jaqu E5, so that would be in that vehicle, 207 horsepower motor and 248 miles of range. battery pack, 61 kilowatt hours. If that was in the Omoda 4, which I think is a very futuristic, they called it like a cyber mecha, which might be a reference for some people, design, £25,000 in that vicinity. That's a winner. Now, Prague is converting their streetlights for EV chargers using a retrofit approach that's a bit like replacing an appliance, and it shortens the installation time. So you've got your streetlight. You can imagine what a streetlight looks like. Everyone knows what one of those looks like. And they basically take out a chunk of the side of it and put in the socket of an EV charger. Work's been accelerating last year. There's 143 EV-ready street lamps installed. They want 1,500 by next year and 6,000 by 2030. There's tons and tons of these in London, by the way, and they just charge at 3.6 or 7.2 kilowatts. Prague has over 3,500 miles of road, they say, needing cabling upgrades. And the upgraded lamp chargers aim to serve a fifth of the 500,000 EVs the Czech Republic expects operating by 2030. Really important thing to do for people who park on streets, not off-road, near a lamppost, and you can slow charge your car all night. Now, Škoda launching a new ad campaign. I think this is brilliant, by the way. It's Down Under in Australia. A national campaign called Surprisingly EV to introduce the Elroq and the ENIAC to Australia, created by the agency DDB Sydney. They created a campaign that counters EV stereotypes by positioning the Elroq and ENIAC as the normal, familiar, practical cars that everyone knows, with no unnecessary gizmos, touchscreens, or spaceship-like designs, and instead are just conventional cars that happen to have a battery. The national launch shows two would-be fuel thieves trying to nick fuel and then having to realise that, oh, these are electric cars. I'm not sure what it says about the average Australian. Are you all nicking fuel? I don't think so. The campaign runs two digital film and social content films across social media platforms as well, which says you could get an EV where you have to use the screen to open the glove box, or you could get a car that looks and feels like a great car that happens to be an EV. Man, I think this is brilliant. Great campaign. What a great way to launch Škoda, as well as making, hey, we just make great cars that you like. It happens to have a battery. It's completely where I am, by the way. You know, I understand in the early days we had to have points of difference, but now, just like, this is what I say to Toyota, my friends at Toyota, just make your best cars in all possible powertrains. A pure combustion, a hybrid, shabby mild hybrid, hydrogen if you want to, plug-in hybrid, EV. You could do it if you wanted and see what people buy. Make the EVs good enough and they'll buy the EV. People don't want crazy, a lot of people don't want crazy designs and they're not early adopters of all these things. They just want, they've had like three Skodas. The next one wants to be like a Skoda. I love that. I think it's very, very cool. All right, let's move on. This is interesting. Production has started a new gigafactory in Bulgaria to make battery energy storage systems about 5 kilometers outside of Sofia. It was inaugurated on the 10th of October this year. The European Commission classed the plant as a project of strategic importance for the local European supply of battery energy storage. They will make lithium iron phosphate cells there for BESS systems. That's very, very cool. And workplace charging is a great place to charge. According to this new bit of data coming out that I found on transportandenergy.com, workplace charging is often the least expensive option for EV drivers. The charging provider Fuse, F-U-U-S-E, Fuse, analysed 1 million workplace charging sessions on their management software. So clearly, bit of data coming out from somebody with skin in the game, because often these press releases are by companies that want a bit of press coverage. But their point is they found an average cost of 26 pence per kilowatt hour at workplace charging. Workplace charging is up to 50%, a lot more than public charging, DC, and even cheaper than public AC charging as well. Yeah, so three times the price of charging at home. But if you can't charge at home, the next best thing is probably charging at work. If you have a workplace or you have an office that you go to, if that's the kind of job that you do, where your vehicle has to be driven to it and then left all day, charge at work, and employers can set their own rates. They might want to subsidize it as a perk, as a benefit, or just charge you what they're getting paid. That's really interesting. Now, a couple more stories. Here in the UK, 45% of UK drivers say that EV tax changes might have affected their decision to go EV. The reassessment of what EV tax is, it's called vehicle excise duty, VED, but we call it car tax, right? And you never used to pay car tax on an EV. And then that got removed, or that exemption got closed, which is fine. Look, I don't mind paying my fair share. The new VED is £10 in the first year and £200 or £195 annual charge from year two. EVs priced over £40,000 get the £425 annual expensive car supplement. For 5 years, that's got to be raised because it's ridiculous. In response, 22% of people responded to this survey said that they no longer plan to buy an EV because of these changes, which, look, I think it's fair, personally, because if you were buying an EV simply to not pay any road tax every year, I mean, fair play, but then combustion car drivers are taking their unfair share of the burden, and that's not fair to them. Like, does that not make any sense? Like, we all have to pay for the roads. So whether it's pay per mile, whether it's pay per weight, that's an interesting new concept, gathering steam in many parts of the world because of these massive SUVs that all the big car makers want us to buy because they can make more money from them, doing more damage, very heavy 3-ton vehicles doing damage to the road. Or you could pay a quarter of the price on your annual taxes and drive a, you know, small family car that doesn't do as much damage. Well, there's a certain argument for that. Now, finally, Auto Trader data shows that the used EV market is hotting up in the United Kingdom, with used EVs selling faster than any other type of vehicle so far in the first 22 days of October. Top-selling EVs, which are 3 to 5 years old on the Auto Trader platform, are the Tesla Model Y, VW ID.3, and Nissan Leaf. The broader used car market averages 27 days to remarket a vehicle, from when it goes on sale to when a buyer finally purchases it. Now, that's 2 days quicker than October last year, by the way, for the average vehicle. But what if you're selling an EV? Well, if you're selling a Model Y from Tesla, they're getting turned over in 11 days. VW ID.3s selling on average in 14 days, and Nissan Leaf selling on average in 15.5 days. Reflecting strong buyer activity in the used EV market and confidence over here, according to MotorTraderNews.com. And that's your podcast for today. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, and Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good and see you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.